diligence. This is a topic that is very important to me. I think it's something that should be very important to all of us, because I think that diligence is something that many times is overlooked. We're all familiar with the passage in 1 Peter 1, 5 through 8, is what we call many times the Christian graces. And now, a lot of times everybody starts with faith. Add to your faith virtue, the virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance. And we work from there all the way through the end to charity. But we leave out that important word that's at the beginning. He says, giving all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance. So I want to talk about diligence tonight. You can look up diligence in the dictionary, and the definition is conscientiousness in paying proper attention to a task, giving the degree of care required in a given situation, and persevering determination to perform a task. I think probably if we were all asked to write our own definition, it would have sounded something similar to that. I think we understand the concept of diligence, but I want us to understand the concept of biblical diligence. There are four words in the Bible that are defined as diligence, among other things. So I'm going to call out some of the other words that are also translated as diligence. The word guard, watch, office, your craft, your work, your gain, endeavor, your labor, your study, your business, earnest care. All of these other words are also come from the same words that are translated as diligence. And if you look at all of these together and you group the words together, you come out with three meanings. To me, it paints a picture of what biblical diligence is all about. And that is that we should carefully guard our Christian life. Carefully guard your Christian life. Now I want you to think for a second and ask yourself that question. Do you guard your Christian life? You know, we guard our families, our children. We try to protect them. We try to take care of them, provide for them, give them what they need. We try to guard our home, our property, our cars. We try to take care of them. We try to protect it. Do we take care of our Christian life that way? Because Satan's out to get it. He's out to stop it. He's out to kill it. And we have to carefully guard that Christian life. And that attitude of careful guarding that life, that attitude is what Peter says we need to take into our faith and our virtue and our knowledge and temperance and all of those things that he talked about that we've heard so many sermons on. It's that attitude of diligence that we have to bring to that to make it work. Let's look at that passage. 2 Peter chapter 1, let's begin with verses 1 through 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That's pretty much his introduction. Now we're going to get to the really important part. Verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now that passage is a beautiful passage, verses 3 and 4. And they paint a beautiful picture of the world that we live in. Sometimes you have to read something from a few different translations to really grasp what it's telling you. But after I've read this and thought about it and looked at it in another translation, it's painting a picture of the world that we live in. And that world is one that, you think about the created world that God created initially. It was perfect. There was no sin here. He created Adam. He created Eve. There were two people. They would have lived forever. They had the perfect garden to live in. They didn't have to work the garden. They didn't have to till the garden. There were no weeds. They had no worries. They had everything perfect. Sin came into the world. Now the world is corrupted through lust. And if you go back and you study that passage, you find that the same three things that Satan uses against us today, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, are the same three things that he used against Eve in the Garden of Eden. The world is corrupted through lust, and that is our lust that has corrupted the world. But that's the world that we live in. This world is corrupted by lust. But the beautiful thing about it is that we have been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. We have been given all things that we need through the knowledge of Jesus Christ so that we can escape that world and taste the divine nature. And I don't think that he's just talking about escaping this world through death and finally moving on into paradise and heaven. I think he's talking about escaping the corruption of the world. Even though we still live here in the flesh, we can escape the corruption of the world, overcome the lust, overcome the sin, overcome the temptation, and therefore taste the divine nature that Adam and Eve tasted initially in the Garden of Eden. And that's a beautiful thought, isn't it? It's a beautiful thought to know that God has given us a way to get out of this mess that we've gotten ourselves into as mankind. Verses 5 through 8, Peter says, and besides this, another translation uses the word therefore, and Brother McDonaldism would be, anytime you see the word therefore, you need to look and see what it's there for. And we just talked about the reason why it was there. He paints a beautiful picture of the corruption of the world, but the beauty in it is that we can escape. Since we can escape, therefore, what does he say? Getting all diligence. Add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. To knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. He mentions diligence twice in there, doesn't he? He mentions diligence at the beginning, and he mentions diligence at the end. You think it's important? Very important. He says, give all diligence. Let's talk about that. Let's use some different examples. He didn't just say, add to your faith, virtue and knowledge. He said, giving all diligence. What does that mean? Well, husbands, how many times has your wife said, will you help me clean the house? Simple request. Probably asked that of you a few times. It's important, but sometimes real important. What if she says, I have some important friends coming over. I haven't seen them in a long time, and I'd really like the house to be clean. Will you help me clean the house and keep it clean for a couple of days? Well, now she's placed a little more importance on it. She's basically asking you to be diligent to help her today and over the next couple of days to have a clean home for her friends that she hasn't seen in a while. It kind of puts a little more importance on it, doesn't it? What if your boss comes to you and says, I need that report at 2 o'clock on Friday? Okay. Probably ask for reports all the time. Nothing special about that. What if he says, I have a meeting with the president on Friday at 3 o'clock. And he's going to ask me about your report, so I need it by 2 o'clock so I can review it. And I need you to make sure that it's right. So go over it 2 or 3 times. Same report, but now the request is a little more important. They're asking you to be more diligent. And that's what Peter said, but I want you to take that and blow it up, you know, times 10 or times 100. He's saying, I don't want you to just add to your faith virtue. It's not something you can just lackadaisically do to add to it. It's not something that you can approach like many times we often approach maybe an exercise program. You know, well, I'm going to get around to it one day. Or a diet program. I'll get around to it, or whatever might need to be done around the house. You might have some maintenance jobs you need to do and think, well, I'll get around to it one day. They're on my list. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about that it is so important that it is the number one thing that you're thinking about, and you're going to be diligent to do it. Chad prayed in his prayer tonight that we would focus on heaven. And that's what diligence is. Focus. Focus on the right thing. Peter makes a bold statement, doesn't he? He says, if you do these things, you shall never fall. Do you believe that? How many of us believe that it's possible for me to not fall? So it's possible for you to not fall. A lot of times, and I've said it before, we're all human, we're all going to make mistakes. And it's true, but sometimes I think we may use that as a cop-out, as an excuse to not try. Because I'm just human. I'm going to fall. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to trip. That's not what Peter said. That is on the opposite extreme of what Peter said. He said, if you do these things, if you're diligent to do this, you will not fall. that sometimes we take the other approach. He says, be diligent to make your call and election sure. Have you been called? What have you been called to do? I think we've all been called, haven't we? How do you know that you've been called? Have you answered that call yet? Have you done what it is that you know you need to be doing? Because we all know things in our lives that we might need to do different. Things we might need to do better. Are we doing them? Are we answering that call of the Holy Spirit in our conscience, trying to pull us to be the person that God wants us to be? Or are we letting the phone ring? We're taking a voicemail. Be diligent to make your calling and election sure. How do you know that you will be chosen? Paul knew he would be chosen, didn't he? He said, I'm ready to be offered. And there is a crown of life waiting for me. Are we as bold as Paul to say that? Do we have that confidence? We're diligent. If we know that we are as diligent as we should be, if we know that we are as focused as we should be, that we have our affection set on things above like we should have, we'll have that confidence, won't we? Not a proud, boastful confidence, a humble, quiet confidence that comes from knowing deep within that we are right with God. And that takes diligence, doesn't it? It takes diligence. Peter was carefully guarding his work. Let's continue reading that passage. We'll pick up with verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an interest shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's not talking about that we're just going to barely scrape through the pearly gate. He's not talking about you're barely going to make the cutoff line of what it took to be a Christian. He said it's going to be administered abundantly. They're going to be opening the gates wide saying, come right on in. Come on in. We've got a mansion waiting for you. It's not one of those things, well, let's measure you up. Yeah, you make it. It's not like they're going to call out the first nail marker and say, yeah, you made it by this much. No. They open the doors wide open and an interest ministered abundantly to you. You think you deserve that? Are you diligent enough for that to happen? Paul knew he had been. Look at what Peter says. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. And aren't we thankful that he did, because we can be reminded by Peter's words tonight, because he made sure that those people, which was part of his work, he made sure that he reminded them. What is that? What was he doing? He was carefully guarding his Christian work. He was trying to prepare them for a time when he wouldn't be there. And he was trying to say, I know I'm not going to always be here, but I want to make sure that even after my death, that you are reminded. And Peter in this passage mentions the opposite of diligence, doesn't he? Did you catch it? Did you catch the opposite of diligence? It's in verse 12. He says, I will not be negligent. Put you always in remembrance of these things. Friends, you can only be one or two. We're either diligent or we're negligent. We don't want to be thought of as negligent, do we? We don't want to be thought of as, especially by God, someone who is not diligent in their life, as doing the things that we knew we should have been doing. No, we don't want to be negligent. We want to be diligent. This is something very important. And you know, pictures are painted of diligence all through the New Testament. Parables of the man who found a treasure in a field and he went and sold all that he had to go and buy that field. It talks about searching for knowledge as if it's a hidden treasure and striving for it. That takes diligence. That takes purpose. That takes forethought. That takes planning. You can't float through life as a Christian. And that's the way I've tried to do it before. I try not to do that now. But there's been times when I floated through from one Sunday to Wednesday to the next Sunday and wasn't as diligent as I should have been. I hope I'm being better now. Let's look at some other scriptures that talk about diligence. And I want to look at these because these are passages that many times we've heard a lot. But the word diligence is just sort of slipped in there on us. So when you think about it in the light of what we've talked about, in the light of the definition of diligence, as carefully guarding your Christian life, it sort of brings these passages to new meaning. Psalms 119, look at the first 8 verses. Psalms 119, the first 8 verses. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and they that seek him with the whole heart. Does that sound like diligence? They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Does that sound like they will never fall? Why do they do this? Verse 4, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts. Does he stop there? No. He doesn't just command us to keep his precepts. He says, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Now listen to what he says. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes, that then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgment. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Don't forsake me, God. I want to keep your statutes. I want to do it diligently. Turn over to Proverbs. Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 27. Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 27. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Now look at what he's just told him to do. David has told his son to put his words in his heart. Have we not been told to do the same? Have we not been told by God to put his words in our hearts, to meditate on it, to think on it, to think on good things? We've been told to do the same thing, haven't we? And those are, if you want to, if you feel like it, if it feels convenient to, those are what I was told in elementary school. Those are imperative statements. That means it's not an option. It's not a question. It's the commandment of something that we are supposed to do. Look at verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee the froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the fat path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Beautiful picture of diligence, isn't it? Keep thy heart with all diligence. Do we carefully protect our hearts? You know, in this world today, it's hard because every time you turn around, you can't go to the grocery store without seeing magazines of people that don't have on enough clothes. Right there at the checkout aisle. And just a quick glance over the headlines of what you can find and what you can learn in those magazines. I haven't looked at this or measured it, but I'd say at least 25 to 50% of it is about sex. If you glance over them, and it's talking about people, and it's got pictures of people living ungodly lives, and that's at the grocery store. That's where we go to get our food. I'm not even talking about television and movies. We're bombarded with it. I wish I had the stats with me, but I have it at home. Many of you are familiar with the TV show Friends. was real popular for a long time. Somebody did a study and they brought in a bunch of adults. Had them sit down and watch a 30-minute episode of the television show Friends. And they had them to keep a tab of the number of sexual-related innuendos, of the bad language, everything like that in the movie, in the episode. And I'm just telling you this off the cuff. I don't remember the exact numbers, but it's a general around this area. Most of them counted 10 to 15. There was between 30 and 45 in that episode. Didn't even see it. Blinded to it. And maybe this has happened to you before. Watch a movie. 3 years later, you think, man, that was a good movie. I want to go back and watch it again. So you rent it. It's on television. You watch it. You think, man, I didn't remember all this. I don't remember this stuff being in that movie. I'm surprised. I thought this was such a good movie. We need to be careful. We need to carefully guard our Christian heart. We need to carefully guard our heart. He says, keep thy heart with all diligence. Maybe that means we shouldn't watch some of those TV shows. Maybe it's easier to protect it if we just don't open it up to it. Maybe that means we shouldn't watch some movies. Maybe we shouldn't read some novels, some magazines, whatever it is. Because it's everywhere. We've got to carefully guard our heart. Now, can we get out of the world? No, we can't. Because we live here. This is the world. We live in a corrupted world. But we've got to learn to guard our heart from the evil that is out there. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11 and 6. This is a passage that we're familiar with. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You know, we're talking about God. A lot of times that's the main point that's brought out of this passage. That we have to have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that seek Him. Is that what it said? He is a rewarder of who? Those that diligently seek Him. Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock, and you will find it. Are we diligently asking? Are we diligently seeking? Diligently knocking? Doesn't just say that He's a rewarder of them that seek Him, because there's a lot of people out there that seek God. They pick their own method. They call it seeking God. They're not being diligent. If they were diligent, they would find the path of leading them on the right way. Look over the next chapter, Hebrews 12, beginning with verse 12. This is a beautiful passage. Hebrews 12, beginning with verse 12. Wherefore lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Now let me stop there. You ever feel that way? Look at the picture that it's painting. The hands that hang down and the feeble knees. Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel just kind of beat up spiritually? You ever feel just worn out, like, I don't know if I can make it much longer? We probably all experienced that at one time or another. If people didn't experience that, it wouldn't be written. Look at what He tells us to do. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he had found no place of repentance. So Esau it carefully with tears. You know, remember what Esau did? He sold his birthright. Remember why? He was hungry. He was hungry. You think his hands were hanging down and his knees were feeble? Probably so. Hebrew writer tells us not to do that, but to be diligent. To look diligently toward God. What does he say would happen if we don't look diligently? We fail the grace of God. God's grace will not fail. God's grace will not fail at all. It will never fail. What will fail is us. We are not diligent as we should be. Finally, 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Now before we read on any further, let's talk about that. Peter is painting the same picture here that he painted at the beginning. In chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. That there's a corrupt world that we live in. There is a way to escape that world. And we know that way. And we know that one day the end is going to come. And we know that it will come as a thief in the night. There's not one of us here that doesn't know all of these things. What manner of persons ought you to be? I know my students at school get a lot more serious around test time. So at test time, they're not all that concerned about what's going on. Well, not all of them. There are some very diligent students who keep up with their work. But there are some who bounce through class, and the big question they always ask is, what do I have to know for the test? What do I have to know to make a B or an A or a C? They don't care about learning it. They just, what do I have to do to get by? I used to do that some myself. Peter says one day we're going to face a test. One day we're going to be judged. And we know it's coming. It's not one of us that doesn't know it's coming, but has there ever been any days in your life where you lived as if it was not coming? As if it was not that day? As if it was not today? As if it's not tomorrow? Because we don't know. Some teachers get pop quizzes, don't you? You don't know when that test is coming. A little more diligent in those classes. Because you never know what might be planned for the activities of that day. Friends, we need to live as if each day is our last. How many times have we heard that? How many times have people stood behind this pulpit and other pulpits in this county and across the country and around the world? And over the years, has it been said we should live as if each day is our last? Peter asked this question so many years ago. Do we? Are we diligent to? Keep reading, verse 12. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to this promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, look at what he says, this is beautiful. Be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Be diligent. Carefully guard your Christian life. I would love for every sermon that ever talks about 1 Peter 1, verses 5 through 8, to include diligence as one of what we call the Christian graces. I won't ever leave it out again. Because it's so important. I don't think, in fact, that you can have all of the Christian graces if you're not diligent to find them. Diligence is so important for us as Christians. So important so that I would dare say that without diligence, we are not the Christians that God wants us to be. We are not the people that God wants us to be. Brethren, let's think about these things. My prayer is that each one of you here tonight absolutely did not need this sermon. that everybody here is as diligent as we need to be, that we all are, that we are all striving. I truly believe that each one here wants to go to heaven. We want that home in heaven. We want it for ourselves. We want it for our families. We want it for our friends. We've got to make sure that we don't let the world squeeze out the diligence inside of us. We've got to make sure that the world doesn't squeeze it out, because you know what happens when it squeezes it out? We end up with hands hanging down and feeble knees, and we think we can't make it. We can't do it. It's too hard. We've got to strengthen up. We've got to be of good courage. We've got to be strong. And that's all over the Bible too, courage and strength. Christians are not weak people, friends. Christians are very strong people. Christians are very diligent people. We live a purpose-driven life, and that's a popular cliche right now. But we live a purpose-driven life. We don't just happen to walk through life as Christians. We do it on purpose because we're diligent. If there's any way that we can be of assistance tonight to you through the prayers of the church, looking across the audience, I believe everyone here is a member of the church. If there's any way that we can be of assistance, you could, maybe you haven't been as diligent as you should have been, we'll be glad to pray with you and for you, help in any way that we can as we stand and sing a selected song.
Jesus is tenderly calling.